Day to DeRocher DeReese. It's double play with DeRocher and Day. With their guest Pee Wee Reese, here's another chapter of double play with DeRocher and Day. Welcome to another visit with baseball's most exciting and controversial couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher, with their guest for today, Pee Wee Reese. Let's listen.
Well, it's funny you saw the former stand.
Well, if it isn't like old times on the Brooklyn Dodgers, with our guest, the famous shortstop of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Pee Wee Reese. And I'm sure all of you fans like Pee Wee just as much as we do, although Leo and I happen to be on the opposite side of the fence right now. Tell me, what were you fellas laughing at?
Well, I were telling a few umpire stories.
Well, let me in on them. I like umpire stories.
Yes, from umpire stories to hidden ball tricks, we're going to run the gamut on double play today. But now, time out. Let's hold everything for an important message. And now back to Leo, Lorraine, and their guest for today, Pee Wee Reese, the famous shortstop of the Brooklyn Dodgers. And Chris DeRocher, Leo and Lorraine's little four-year-old, who's been awaiting this visit anxiously because he, too, has a very important problem.
You want to hear what we were talking about, really?
Yeah.
Pee Wee, we may have to change a few of the words, but...
Well, I think so.
Well, you don't have to change them for me. Just say, say blinkety-blank.
All right.
Well,
we
use a few different words when we talk to those umpires out there, Lorraine.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, I never have any trouble with umpires, Pee Wee. I just go up there and... Doff my cap.
Well, I tell you, you're a changed man.
Oh, sure.
You used to have trouble when I was with you.
You know, Pee Wee, Jimmy Dyke told me that this happened to him on the ball club, and I don't see how a fellow could to think this fast, but it seemed as though Juice, his leadoff hitter, was at the plate, and he took a close pitch when the count was 3-2, and the umpire called him out. Strike 3, and he's out. And there was the biggest rhubarb real quick, and that Juice dropped a bat, and he jumped at that umpire, and he was all over it. And by the time Dyke got there, he lost his shortstop and everything, and he run up to him and he said, "What'd you put him out of the game for?" He says, "My shortstop done the best ball player. What'd you put him out for?" The umpire proceeded to tell Dykes what Juice had said. It seems as though that Juice had called him a number of things and called him a blind blankety-blank. And Dykes in turn said to him, he said, "Well, if you leave out the blind part, how wrong is he?" And of course, you know what happened to Dyke. He got thrown out, too.
Well, I'll tell you one that happened to me, Leo, when I flew out back when
now,
I first came
mother?
Up with the Dodgers.
Oh, excuse me, Pee Wee. What, dear?
Now?
No, Chris, not now. Come back a little later, okay?
What does he want to do?
What were you saying?
Getting back to my baseball story, Leo, when I first came up to Dodgers, you know, I was kind of a quiet sort of boy, not like you, you know.
Just a minute now.
Anyway, I was hitting this particular day, and I didn't know the umpire code. So the umpire was Bill Clem. He called a strike on me, and I turned around and looked at him like this, and you should never do that with Clem.
Murder with Clem.
So he said, "Son, don't be looking around here." He says, "That guy out there is fooling you, not me." From here on out, buddy, I never turn around and look at those umpires anymore.
Before you
tell that story, can I ask Pee Wee if this is true? You had played the Yankees in spring training, and they had beaten you, I guess, about 4 straight.
You never happened.
Oh! All right, 3 straight. Well, anyway, the way this story goes, you were in this little southern town playing an exhibition game. Well, and the fans were giving you a terrific siding, saying, "Yay, hey, what about, what'd the Yankees do to you? What'd the Yankees do to you?" And that Larry gets said to Jake Pittler, he says, "Why don't you turn around and yell, 'What did the Yankees do to you?' And then we'll all run." Did that really happen?
Yes, certainly did. And they weren't hollering, "What did the Yankees do to us?"
What were they hollering?
Hollering, "What did the Giants do to you?"
Oh, well, we were lucky, Pee Wee.
But I certainly were.
Oh, we were lucky. I mean,
we had talent. Come on.
Well, one swish of the bat, Pee Wee, and it was all over.
Well,
we had
to make it close. We played a little too close.
I guarantee you, some of my players told me, they said, "We had them." You know that old expression, Pee Wee?
We had them all the way.
We had them all the way. I said, "I wish you'd let me know, because it got awful tight. We couldn't have gone much further."
But
there's a Clem story, and this happened to me when I was playing. I was with the St. Louis Cardinals, and Bill Clem was umpiring behind the plate. And there was a saying that if you ever hollered at Bill Clem and said, "Hey, catfish," and he heard you, and you were a player, right now you were out of the game. It was just something that you couldn't call Mr. Clem. This day there was some fan off behind home plate, and he kept hollering at Clem, "Hey, catfish, catfish," and Clem couldn't spot him. So I was at the plate, going to take my turn at bat, and Clem brushed off the plate, and he said to me, "Will you point that fellow out to me? See if you can spot that gentleman that is calling me that name." And as he stood up, brushed the plate off. I stood there, and I looked, and I said, he's right. And I no sooner than started to point, he said, don't point, you blankety blank blank. And I said, what are you getting on me for? He said, don't, you numbskull. So naturally, I stood at the plate, and as usual, 1, 2, 3, and he says, you're out. And I walked back to the bench, and as I get back to the bench, I looked up, and he was walking over and had the police put that man out of the park. That's twice I know that since I've been in baseball that when Clem was an umpire, that he had fans put out.
Couldn't, you just couldn't call that.
Oh, no.
You were telling me a story once about Clem and McGraw. What was it? Wasn't it McGraw?
Yeah, that's what it was. I think McGraw was hitting, because that'd been... I heard this story. Of course, I wasn't there. But anyhow, McGraw had... Clem had called 2 strikes on McGraw, and the third one he called it a ball. So McGraw said, Clem says, that was the same place the other two were. And he said, well, in that case, you're out.
Well, I guess we better get to these questions, and we'll never get them answered, although I could go on forever listening to these wonderful umpire stories. This is from Bangor,
Maine.
Hello,
Mother.
No, dear. Come back a little later. Not now, Chris.
What does he want to do?
Just a minute, dear. This one says, dear Lorraine, here's something I've always wondered. How does an infielder get possession of the ball without the base runner knowing it on the hidden ball play? Bob Forsythe. Okay, you're an infielder.
But I'm not too much of a trick artist with the ball, but I have done it. I've worked it one time since I've been in the major leagues.
And I suppose it's against the Giants?
No, it wasn't. I wish it were.
Oh, fine thing.
The way I did it, I took the ball in and just act like I put the ball in the pitcher's glove. Well, I didn't. I just didn't talk to him for a while, and I slipped it in the back of my glove, in between my palm and my glove. And I walked back to my position and walked over to talk to the guy on second base until he started to talk to me. And all of a sudden, I had the ball, and I said, buddy, you're out. And the umpire called. Sometimes the umpire, you have to call the umpire's attention to it because they even fool.
Yes, the umpires don't know you have the ball, and if they don't see it, naturally, they're not going to call him out. I just don't remember, Pee-wee, who did it to us. I know
Connie
who did
Ryan.
It. Connie Ryan did it, but who was the player? Who
Lachlan.
Did they call?
Lachlan.
Was it Lachlan?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I was coaching, too, and they really gave it to me, and I didn't know Ryan had the ball. A coach should watch it because if the pitcher gets anywhere near the rubber,
that's
a balk. He can't get up on that mound. He can't get in anywhere in the vicinity of the rubber.
A lot of times around the mound, the pitcher will go and get the
rosin bag.
Rosin bag. It's shaped a little bit like a ball, you know. He can put the rosin bag in his glove, and you can fool a runner sometime like that. But it's usually probably the coach's fault.
Sure, it's the coach's fault.
He should have found the ball.
Well, sure. I can remember a game where the fans told you, and you were coaching at third, and they kept yelling, the ball, the ball, the ball. I don't know which club it was.
Well, I've had it happen where the fans have hollered.
You call time and
sure.
Ask to see where the ball was.
There's a lot of times you don't know where the ball is. You'll be thinking of something else. Your mind's a million miles away. You're thinking of the... Well, I got to get this run. I'm going to bunt or I'm going to hit and run. The first thing you're going to look up and your man's out.
That's
and
right.
I would say it's quite embarrassing if you are the manager and you are coaching.
And the player. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say it's embarrassing all the way around.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's go on to our second question from Topeka, Kansas. Joe Rizdis, I think. Would you ask some players if the athlete must maintain a strict conditioning schedule the year round or is it just during the playing season?
When I first came up with the Dodgers, Leo knows that I weighed about 150 pounds, and I thought I would never get over 160. But now then, I weigh about 175, 180 strips, and I have to watch my weight, so I do. I ride a bicycle a lot in the wintertime, and I work out with a basketball team, and I live right across from the park, and I go over there, and I have a bird dog, and I work out with that quite a bit. So I do think that you have to watch your diet, you have to watch what you eat in the wintertime, and you have to keep your legs in shape because if you build your legs up in the summertime and you just completely let them go in the wintertime, then you have to fill them back up again. I think it takes something out of them.
You do play a lot of golf, too, don't you, Pee-wee, in
yes,
the winter?
Oh, yes, by the way.
Yeah, you play a lot of golf and a real good golfer, by the way. What are you, a 2, Pee-wee, or a 3?
No, I'm about a 5.
Oh, about a 5. Well, that's one of those 5s, a Louisville 5.
He's
a 5. Yes, he's really a 2 or a 3. Yeah, that's his correct handicap. But in Louisville, of course, they give him 5, and that makes it easy.
Well, speaking of golf, how about letting our sponsor tee up right now?
And now back to double play.
Well, back to baseball. I have a couple of letters here. I don't know if we're going to have time to answer both of them, so keep your answer short, huh, fellas?
Go ahead.
All right, the first one says, dear double play, why is it that a manager, in order to be successful, apparently has to be unpopular with his players? Of course, there are exceptions, but I'm thinking of McGraw, Southworth, Vince McCarthy, and men like that.
I don't think any manager can satisfy 25 ball players.
Well, you can't satisfy... it's awfully hard for one person working in an office of 10 to satisfy everyone.
Right. The guy who thinks that he should be pitching, and why am I pitching? Why, he must not like me, and I'm a better player than this guy playing. I think it happened on every club, Leo.
It certainly does, Pee-wee. There's no way that a manager can satisfy everyone, and you have to change your mode of living, your tactics and everything else the minute you become a manager. You have to stop being real buddy-buddy with your players. You can be close to them and be very popular with them, I believe, but you just can't be as close to them as you were when you did play with them.
Right.
You do the best you can, and you have to rub certain ones and kick certain ones to get the full amount out of everybody.
What about this? I'm only 5 feet 6 inches and weigh 145 pounds, but want to play professional baseball. Please let me know if I have a chance or is my size against me.
When Pee-wee first joined the Brooklyn Ball Club, the first year that I was over there, he looked like he belonged in one of the high schools. He looked like a little bitty boy. All I know is this, that I took one look at him and I said, that's all. I hit him a few ground balls and I knew that my glove was about to be hung up and left there. And I don't think you have to be a big fella or anything else. I don't think size enters into it. And I know, Pee, we can name some players for you that'll prove it.
Well, I don't like to mention another league, but we can name a player with the Yankees that's not exactly a big strapping fella, but he does a fair job over there. Shortstop, I would say.
But you usually try and have a very tall fella playing first, don't you?
Well, not necessarily.
It's better if you can.
We had Camilla. He wasn't any taller than I. Of course, he's a lot broader, but he was about 5'10".
What about a catcher? Can a little guy catch? Or should it be a big guy?
I would say a big guy again, because a catcher takes a lot of punishment back there.
And you want a nice big target, too,
that's
for the pitcher.
Right.
I'd rather have big men behind the plate.
Would you please show me how to play marbles?
Pee-wee, ever since Chris heard that you were coming over, I promised him that you would show him how to play marbles.
I'd love to, Chris. You sit right over here, and I'll show you.
You know, this is how Pee-wee got his name. He used to be the champion marble player.
First, Chris, I want you to get this marble out so you can get it out. Can you get one of them out?
All right.
Let's see how you hold it now. No, that's wrong.
Well, I guess we're going to have to quit talking about baseball now. It looks like we have a marble lesson coming up. So see you next week, same time, same station. So long.
You've been listening to another chapter of Double Play with baseball's most exciting couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher. Today, Lorraine and Leo had as their guest, Pee-wee Reese. Join us when again it's time for Double Play with Leo DeRocher and Lorraine Day, plus another big-time guest star. Double Play is produced by Marty Martin, directed by Ted Nealon, and is a Martet production.